Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to learn to identify, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us here again today. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time together? Well, I know that you know that God's Word is important, correct? You see, it is important to you, and it is important to others, particularly important to three generally underserved groups of folks within our community and within the body of Christ. Those would be our single parents, our children, and our senior citizens. Now, we've already talked about helping meet the needs of our single parents and our children. This week, you are going to discover what it can be like to help our seniors learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications. Then we're going to respond to some real-world questions from some real-world folks. And boy, here's something you don't want to miss. According to Clark Howard, music concerts are really starting to ramp up again, and so are the scammers. Today, you are going to hear how to avoid Ticketmaster look-alike scams. That's going to be good. And then finally, one of our favorite Christian leadership authors and speakers and teachers and trainers, John Maxwell, well, he is going to share with us his thoughts on the word abundance. So, stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord that you are not going to want to miss. And let's start as we always do by making sure that the Lord is the one that's driving this time together. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us and teaching us and challenging us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear and the faith to put into practice all that you have planned for us today to your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we kick off our radio seminar time together today, recall that God gives you His Word for two very good reasons. Do you remember what they are? Sure you do. First of all, He expects you to get what He has to say to you up and operating in your life. And then, secondly, He expects you to allow His Word to flow through you to be a blessing to others, to include folks like our single parents, children, and our senior citizens. Here's the point. You are learning a lot about what God has to say about how to manage His resources, correct? And as you learn and begin to apply what you learn, well, according to the Bible, you need to keep your eyes and your ears open for chances to help others learn and apply as well. Now, so far, we've talked about helping our single parents and our children, but our senior citizens also desperately need to hear and learn to apply Bible-based financial principles. And to start to kind of set the foundation for us here, let me share with you some statistics. As a matter of fact, I just verified these stats this week, so these are good current statistics, okay? For example, did you know that the current data shows that the average life expectancy today in the United States of America is 76 years old for men and 80 years old for women? It also shows that 64% of all Americans, to include 64% of all seniors, are living paycheck to paycheck. And the data also shows that 59% of all Americans, including our seniors, are living beyond their means, which is to say that 59% of all Americans, to include our seniors, have more money going out than they have coming in each month. And finally, older adults are known to be vulnerable to a whole number of financially related threats, to include things like fraud and identity theft, and even something that is called financial elder abuse. Now, what does all of this mean? Well, it means that our seniors, our seniors have some definite needs. For example, one of the greatest needs our seniors have is to be able to live a physically and a financially safe and comfortable retirement life as independently as possible. As independently as possible and for as long as possible. However, listen, I got to tell you that these needs are complicated by a level of struggle and obstacles and uncertainties that absolutely no other aging population has ever had to face. These obstacles include, for example, a really poor economy. I mean, there are hardly any jobs out there available for our senior citizens. They're facing a dwindling company pension plan schedule, and that's if they have a pension plan at all nowadays. They're looking at poor retirement planning history. They're also looking at unexpected health problems. And so many of our seniors are even caring for their senior parents. And you combine all of this with the challenges of living on a fixed income with almost no retirement savings, and it becomes crystal clear, my friend, that financial literacy is a necessary skill for all of our elders. Now, all of this combines into the need our seniors have for education and for training and some application accountability. And listen, by the way, remember what we said during one of our very first times together? Remember that you have seen that biblical financial principles are the same whether you are young or whether you are young at heart. His financial principles are the same, listen, whether you are young or whether you are a senior citizen. And all of this combines into the need that our seniors have, again, what they have for some education, some training, and for some application accountability. Now, this being the case, and it is, what are some of the specific things that you and your community and your church that you and your church can do to help out our seniors and help meet their needs? Well, there are quite a few. For example, you can and should set up the capacity to help out financially. I mean, that's going to be a need there. That needs to be in place. But you can also provide financial literacy education services that are specifically designed for senior citizens. You can provide individualized help so that these senior citizens can personally apply all that it is that they learn. And you can provide these financial literacy services by using experienced professional financial coaches and trained senior citizen volunteers. All who have three basic things in common. Number one, they need to have a history. They need to know how to work with senior citizens. Number two, they cannot have anything to sell. Listen, the people who are going to help out your seniors ought not to try to sell our seniors a single product. And number three, these folks, these volunteers need to be around for a while to help provide some long-term follow-up help, okay? So your church, listen, something else you can do, your church can also set up programs for seniors to learn to help themselves and to learn to help others. I mean, for example, why not involve your seniors when planning your church senior support programs? I mean, get them involved at the beginning. Get them involved in the planning process. And you can even certify some of your seniors to help teach and train and counsel other seniors in your church. So you can see there are quite a few things that we can and should do to help our seniors, all right? But our seniors also have some responsibilities as well. If they're going to receive help, they have some responsibilities. For example, seniors need to be alert to the fact that the biggest obstacle that they're going to face as they try to first survive and then thrive during these perilous economic times of their senior years is to recognize their lack of knowledge and their lack of ability to correctly assess where they are financially, their ability or inability to set financial goals, and then finally to develop a management plan to help them reach the goals that they set, okay? That's one thing that they need to do. Another thing, they need to make their financial needs and information known. Can't can't offer help if we don't know the problem exists. Then they need to take advantage of whatever financial literacy programs are going to be made available to them. And finally, seniors need to help put into practice and to share with others what it is they learn. My friend, as you begin to put all of this together for our seniors, do you realize what you're going to find? When we begin to move to recognize and help meet the financial needs of our seniors, we are going to find that our senior communities, they're going to get stronger. They're no longer going to get weaker. Our seniors will begin to reduce their vulnerability to a number of financial threats. For example, again, like threats like fraud and identity theft and financial elder abuse. And they will also have an increased ability to live and enjoy life on a fixed income and be better equipped to actively take part in a community of like-minded, trained senior service volunteers to help serve each other and others as well. So there you have it, my friends. We've covered three underserved groups of folks within your church and within your community. That would be our single parents, our children, and now our senior citizens. You have seen their needs, some of the things that you and other like-minded folks can do to help meet those needs, and you have also seen some of the responsibilities each of these folks have as they receive help. My friend, it is exactly like you have seen right from the very start of all of our radio program times together. According to the Bible, the Lord has in mind for you to do two things with all that He is giving you. First of all, you are to prayerfully learn, understand, and apply. Now, that's got to be the first thing. But then secondly, you are to prayerfully begin to help other people do exactly the same thing. Remember, according to the Bible, you are not fully trained. Listen, you cannot expect to be fully trained and live out what you have put in until you come to the point that you help get it up and operating in the lives of others as well. It is simply the disciple-making process applied to personal, spiritual, and financial transformation. So simply put, if you want to see all of these Bible-based spiritual principles and spiritual applications, financial principles and applications up alive and well and working in your life, and I know that you do. I know that you do, or you wouldn't even be here right now. I mean, you would have already turned us out, or you wouldn't have turned in to begin with. So I know that you want that for your life, or you wouldn't be here. So if you want to get all that God is giving you up and operating in your life, well, then you need to ask the Lord to help you share what He is giving you with someone else. You have to ask Him. You have to ask for His direction to begin to share these spiritual financial principles and applications. And by the way, you can start to share what you know even as you go. That means that you don't need to wait to become an expert before you begin to reach out and help someone else. Plus, I got to tell you, according to the Bible, the Lord is going to make sure that you have something to share with everyone He brings across your path. Now, you may not be able to help in every way, but He promises you that you will be able to help in some way. You see, you need to allow God to get you moving down the road to financial freedom God's way. You really do. But you need to also allow Him to send one or two or three or maybe even a whole busload of folks with you. Now, as we finish up our radio seminar time together today, what I want to do is to take a special time of prayer. So let me pray for us. Father God, we thank You that You are beginning to lay on our hearts the need to learn and apply what You're giving us. Thank You, Lord, for that. And Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. We really do. And we know that You show us in Your Word that Jesus taught His disciples what they needed to know and apply, and He taught them how to teach others to know and apply as well. Lord, the disciples became fully trained only after they began to teach and train others to teach and train others. Wow, what a great model You set for us. So Lord, I pray that You not only continue to transform us, but that you would begin to show us exactly who it is that you want to transform through us. Father, we continue to give ourselves to you, to your glory, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, all right then. Let's tell you what let's do. Let's follow up our radio seminar time together with a couple of great questions seniors have about passing along their wealth to the next generation. Good follow-up. For example, here's the first question. Bob, my wife and I are Christians, but none of our children are. We've been entrusted by God with a large amount of money. I do not feel good about leaving it to the children since we have not communicated for a long time, and they are not following God's path. Would it be wise for me to leave them any money? What does the Bible have to say? Great question, Josh. I hope you're listening today. First of all, my friend, the Bible is clear. As long as your children are under your care, you have a responsibility to support them. However, if they are no longer dependent upon you, then the assets are yours to do with whatever you believe God would have you to do. If you don't want to leave them any money in your will and your estate, then you don't have to. But let me say this. I really suggest you take time to pray about this and talk it over with your wife. Be absolutely certain that this is God's direction, his plan for you. Listen, don't use your assets as a tool to get even with your children. And by the way, it may mean by leaving them something, you would have one last chance to share the message of salvation with them. Now, another alternative might be to leave something in trust for them that would be paid out later under very specific and controlled conditions. So you have some options. I'd be careful. Pray about it. Great question, Josh. Thank you. Now, here is a second question. Dr. Lauder, I am a widow whose husband died many years ago. Our children are grown, and over the years, I've given them most of the assets that I have. They've managed things well, and I don't feel that they have any further needs. I would like to ensure that my remaining assets go to the Lord's work, but I need them to live on until I die. How can I accomplish that? Well, great question, though I'm not really the right person to answer as I'm not an investment counselor. But I know for sure that one alternative that you have is to place all of your assets into what is called a living trust with the charitable organizations you want to support as the beneficiaries. And as a matter of fact, you can even place your home inside this trust under what I understand is called a life estate. That's where you give up ownership to your home, but you're going to retain the privilege of living there during your lifetime. And then at your death, all of the assets in the trust are going to go immediately to the charitable organizations according to the terms that you decide on. And by the way, those assets are not going to be taxed. Now, because this is a very specialized estate planning situation, I really encourage you to prayerfully contact a good Christian attorney in your area and talk with him and set up with him an entire estate plan. I think that's the best thing for you to do. Great, great question. Okay, how are we doing? I think we have time for one more question. Bob, how do you feel about gold and silver as investments? Again, I am not an investment person, my friend, but I do believe, according to the Bible, Christians can invest in any area provided that they know the potential risk and return. And listen, they don't risk money they can't afford to lose. Now, it is absolutely no secret that gold and silver have been used as a standard of value worldwide for thousands and thousands of years for three great reasons. First of all, it's easily storable. Second, well, you can cut it up into lots of small pieces. And third, it's a limited resource that cannot be counterfeited. By the way, that's the same with gold and silver. Now, I've been told by those who know a whole lot more about investing than I do, I've been told that buying gold and silver can be a good hedge against runaway inflation or a financial collapse. However, the majority of people who buy gold and silver do so because they are speculating. That is to say that they buy at one price, hoping to sell it at a higher price. Now, gold and silver prices, we know that gold and silver tends to rise and fall with cycles in our economy. And very few people are able to accurately forecast these cycles, and I am not one of them. So in my opinion, gold and silver, well, they are not a good short-term investment for the average investor. On the other hand, maybe a good quality mutual fund with professional advisors specializing in gold or silver might be a better thing for you to take a look at. Great questions. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, I have some good news and some not so good news, okay? The good news is concerts are back. I mean, music bands are beginning to tour again. At least they are up here where we live. And according to our consumer advocate friend, Clark Howard, ticket spending is back to pre-COVID-19 levels. However, this fact has not gone unnoticed by scammers. Recent reports to the Better Business Bureau's spam tracker indicate that con artists are starting to prey on concert goers by pretending to represent the popular ticket seller, Ticketmaster. Oh my goodness. Listen, here's how the scam works. You're looking to buy tickets to an upcoming concert, or maybe you need to transfer tickets for a show that was postponed due to COVID-19. So what do? You go to the internet, and you look for how to do that, which brings you the results to Ticketmaster, and you click through to the website, and everything looks fine. The website prompts you to enter your personal information, your credit card number, but as soon as you do, as soon as you complete the transaction, you start to notice some suspicious activity. For example, you might receive tickets with somebody else's name on them, or you may never receive your tickets at all. In other cases, you get the tickets, but the site charges you a much, much higher rate than was advertised. And when you look closer, what you realize is that you were not on the Ticketmaster site at all. It was a lookalike site with a similar name, such as Ticket Smarter, or maybe even Ticket Faster. And when you call customer service, well, they're either unreachable, unhelpful, or they're downright aggressive, okay? So that's how the scam works. According to Clark Howard, what can you do about it? Four different things. Listen, number one, purchase the tickets directly from the venue. The safest way to purchase event tickets is to go directly through the venue, either in person or through their official site. And if the venue's website points you to Ticketmaster, you go to Ticketmaster from the venue site, you know you're going to end up on the real Ticketmaster site. So number one, buy from the venue. Number two, check out the seller. If you purchase from a third party, make sure they are a reputable ticket vendor or reseller, not a ticket scalper. You can check out the betterbusinessbureau.org to get some help in this. Third, number three, watch out for fake websites. Take a close look at the website URL to ensure there are no slight misspellings. Why? Because imposters like to make lookalike websites with domain names that are almost the same as well-known business names, okay? This makes them hard to spot. So what can you do? You can buy from the venue, check out the seller, watch for fake websites, and finally, use a safe payment method. I mean, if you're going to make online purchases, do it with your credit card. That way you can always come back and dispute the fraudulent charges if they happen to be fraudulent, and you're going to have a better chance of getting your money back. So, good information on the popular Ticketmaster fraud that's going around now. Don't get caught. Four simple rules. Buy from the venue. Check out the seller. Watch for websites that aren't real and use your credit card to buy online. So, we've had a great radio seminar time, good Q&As, good time with Clark Howard. Now is one of my favorite times of the day, and that is when we get to spend a minute with Maxwell. Today, Christian leadership author and speaker and teacher, trainer and coach John Maxwell, he is going to share with us his thoughts on the word relentless.
Hi, John Maxwell. I welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Our team member, John from Salt Lake City, Utah, asked me to talk today with you about the word relentless. It's a great word, isn't it? Most successful people are successful not because it came quick or easy to them. They're successful because they were relentless. In other words, they stayed in the game long enough to enjoy the game and win it. They were fruitful because they were willing to wait, that they were willing to be patient, that they were willing to persevere. We don't stop our way to success. We move toward it. We continually knock on that door, and we all know what it's like to have no one open the door. And we just kind of stay there and keep knocking. Or we say, okay, well, that didn't work out, but I'll go to the next door. Relentless is a word that keeps us in the game when other people want to stop and quit. And by the way, I think that success is a result of not being smarter than others, but success is a result of being more relentless than others. It's staying in the game long enough to have the fruit of that consistency and that perseverance become available to you. A relentless person will not be denied. A relentless person will keep coming back. And a relentless person will eventually achieve. That's a fact. So today, go out and be relentless. It's the only way you're going to get some of the things that you really need in your life. Thanks for joining me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow. What I hear John telling us is that staying relentless is going to keep us in the game, even when we're ready to quit. So what do? We stay persistent, strong-headed, and remember, stay in the game. Thank you, John Maxwell. And that, my friends, that just about wraps up our time together today. But before we go, I want to remind you again that this fall, we are going to be offering both our How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way and our new Widowhood, What to Do Both Before and After. We're going to be offering both of these seminars and workshops at our ministry relocation in Hiawassee. Now, you're going to begin seeing some promotion on these seminars soon. However, if you would like us to bring either one or both of these complimentary, no-charge seminars to your church, all you need to do is to give me a call at 678-386-2640. That's 678-386-2640. Our fall schedule openings, well, they're going to be limited, so please get in touch with me soon if you would like to talk about bringing our How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way or our Widowhood, What to Do Before and After seminars and workshops to your church or to your organization. All right? And by the way, don't forget to check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. Look forward to seeing you on the website. Lots of great information. Okay. Wow. Well, that does wrap up our time together. And a great time it's been. We had a good time as we were talking about learning how to support our seniors. We had a great question and answer time together. You learned about how to avoid the Ticketmaster scam that's going around, and you just heard from John Maxwell about the word relentless. So, yep, another great time together. Now let's close, as we always close, and that is with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together and teaching us again today. Today and for each of the days yet to come, all to your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. So have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're looking forward to seeing you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.